Two Bridgeport Democrats accused of absentee ballot fraud rejected plea deals in court and are now headed for trials. I'm talking about City Councilman Alfredo Castillo and former Democratic Party Vice Chair Wanda Jeter-Pataki. They both face dozens of charges tied to the city's 2019 and 2023 mayoral primary elections, and both could face years in prison if convicted. So let's go back in time just a little bit, if you don't mind. Let's go back to the primary mayoral election of 2023 when that video was leaked to the public. It became national news very quickly, and it very blatantly showed alleged ballot stuffing. And it was John Gomes, who was at the time running against Mayor Joe Ganim to get the Democratic nomination, who ultimately came on our show and talked about the significance of this video. And I don't know if he even could have predicted 3 years later we'd be here today. So we welcome John Gomes back to the show. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm blessed. Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. What are your thoughts? I mean, first of all, I guess my initial is when you and it, I mean, first of all, I don't want to put words in mouth, but I mean, you were part of releasing that video in 2023.
Yes, the video came through a whistleblower who really, like many of the voters of Bridgeport, tired and fatigue of the corruption, what's going on. And it came to us. And our responsibility was to put it out and actually show some of the things that are happening within our city. Because often it's been conceived that there is fraud. But when you see it in black and white in the video, it translates completely different.
So now, 3 years later, and there was part of your statement that was released specifically regarding Wanda Jeter-Pataki and really the video. When you see 3 years later, and again, you know, we knew after the video was released, she kept using her Fifth Amendment right, basically, dozens of times in court. So there was never really an admittance of, yes, I did this, or no, I didn't, or there was no explanation. But again, the video doesn't lie. You clearly see an individual putting something into a ballot box. I think we can agree on that. Well, and even a judge, it was enough for the judge to reorder a primary election and a general election that year.
Right.
How are you feeling now, you know, 3 years later and rejecting a plea deal, both she and Alfredo Castillo, and now it heads to trial?
Well, I found the news yesterday to be both interesting and surprising, given the overwhelming amount of evidence that was presented, as well as five convictions, within the scope of others that were charged and pled guilty to felony charge, possession of ballots, misrepresenting, and so forth. But as well to understand that the plea bargain that was offered at that time yesterday, I believe, was somewhat around, 3 years or so in jail versus from what I'm reading, as many as 635 years. So it's surprising, but I'm sure they're filing their legal counsel and they're being, and that's their right as a defendant. But, it's unfortunate for Bridgeport. It continues to be a sad day, as you said, 3 years ago to today. We're living in Bridgeport under a black cloud, under a corrupted system, where the voters of Bridgeport still do not have an opportunity to breathe, because they feel that their votes do not count. We have a system that systematically has been geared to disenfranchise, oppress the voters, and really make the voters feel uncomfortable in showing up to vote. I mean, we look at statistics. If you get a mathematician with you, it'll tell you that, the voter turnout continues to decrease. Last election in 2023, there was almost a 20% decrease, while the absentee ballot votes continue to increase. In our number, last time it accounted for almost 22% of the votes that were tallied. This is twice the amount in Hartford compared to Hartford, twice compared to Stamford, three times compared to Waterbury, and believe it or not, almost 10 times compared to New Haven. And the sad part is that it continues to be the black and brown community that are suffering the consequences and are being used as a poster child for a voter fraud, when those that truly are benefiting from these strategies are not being held accountable. And the one thing I would tell the voters of Bridgeport is not to give up, not to give up, because God is great and things will happen in its due time. It's sad, as I said, but we will never give up hope because the voters of Bridgeport, the people of Bridgeport are resilient and we continue to fight.
And again, we've got John Gomes here. And at the time when that video leaked, John Gomes was going up against incumbent Mayor Joe Ganim for the Democratic nomination for mayor. I don't want to overlook what has also transpired since those videos leaked in 2023, John. And there were very strong accusations that people from your camp as well were caught on camera stuffing ballot boxes. And I do want to give you the opportunity, if in fact that is true, has there been wrongs from other people even associated with you? I know that you feel very strongly, and you've been saying that from the very beginning, that we need to have clean elections. We have to stop having these backdoor policies and sketchy politics, I think, was something that you and I have talked about for years on this show. And you certainly have gone through, I think, the ringer, honestly, ever since doing something as bold as releasing that video. So I guess my question is I'm not accusing you of something, but is that in fact true that even people connected to you in your campaign were doing the acts that were also caught on camera by the Ganim team, I would say? It wasn't Joe Ganim, but by people connected to Joe Ganim's campaign.
I'll tell you this. Our campaign from the get-go has been very upfront, transparent, and we hold the integrity of and the privilege of voting. From the moment we started our election, we wrote to the Secretary of the State. We asked for their support. We asked for supervisory election in senior centers, and absolutely not. No one in my campaign will ever tell you that my campaign in the past hired them or paid them strategically to go after absentee ballot. Absolutely not. And anyone that has a doubt, they could reach me and talk with me, and we will thoroughly go through any and everything. Those that were on the video with my shirt, my campaign shirt at that time, that deposit ballot in the box, they were asked by the state election enforcement for clarification. It was presented. They provided a list of the family members. They were doing so, and they were clear. We did not do anything wrong, and we will continue to fight for the right of Bridgeport to make sure that every vote is fairly counted and that the opportunity for you to have a clear conscience when you cast your vote to know that it's being done correctly.
So here's, I guess, kind of a loaded question, John, but, you know, you've been, as I mentioned, and I do think it's bold. I know, listen, there might be people who are listening who feel like they either are very big Mayor Ganim fans. Maybe they don't like you. Maybe they don't politically align with you. And that's fine. You know, everybody has that those rights. But you can't deny what you have gone through ever since what I would call a very bold and a major move in Bridgeport politics, which was releasing that video. I first of all want to know if you feel like it was still the right move to do it. And after doing it and everything you've gone through, what would you say is sort of your hope, you know, now with at least these two trials that are going to be coming down the pipeline?
Well, the first thing I would tell you is that I owe everything to Bridgeport, the person I am today. I came here as a young boy, no mother, no father, and I grew up right here in the Hollow section of Bridgeport. And academic, went on to college and so forth. And then worked corporate America, came back and worked within city government. So I'm very embedded. I'm in debt emotionally, spiritually in the city of Bridgeport. And I would never second guess the decision we made because it was the right decision. And with this trial, I hope that more clarity, more information comes out to really understand the in-depth on the other side as to what happened and how it happened. Because when we did the lawsuit against the city and we won and we forced two more elections, there were a lot of information that came out and they became public information, including 38 100 hours of videos to show what happened and what ballot box. And hopefully with this trial coming up, some more information will be disclosed, so it could bring some clarity, more clarity to say, aside from the video, to actually put more pieces together. But without a doubt, I don't regret what I did. There was a lot of personal sacrifice, without a doubt. Anytime you run a campaign, there are a lot of sacrifices. But what I feel is this has become more than just a campaign. I feel it's a personal attack on me, my family, my way of being, living. I mean, there were times after the election, as you know, it was public information. Not only was my car shot at least 6 times, my apartment shot twice, allegedly one of my properties burned. So it takes a toll on you, but I believe in what I'm doing. I believe in the people of Bridgeport. I walk these streets every day. I haven't changed my route, my ways. And honestly, with all of this, I've become a different person, especially from a spiritual person. I believe that, you know, we had an agenda to change Bridgeport at the time we were looking for, but that wasn't God's plan. Its plan was perhaps to bring clarity to the corruption that exists in Bridgeport, and really that unfolded through the video that was presented. So there's no doubt that there is a corrupted system, and they're looking to disenfranchise the voter. But I would tell the people of Bridgeport, keep fighting, keep going. Register more people than ever to vote and show up at those polls, because we can't complain if we don't take action. And when we take action, there will be positive results. But we cannot give up.
We are talking to John Gomes, and major news out of Bridgeport. Two prominent leaders in the city accused of absentee ballot fraud rejected plea deals in court and are now headed for trial. We're talking about Alfredo Castillo and Wanda Jeter Pataki. John, are you disappointed since the video released? Because I could be honest with you, I kind of am. And I've talked to the Secretary of the State about this. I've talked to the governor about this. I've talked to delegates in Bridgeport who represent the city up in Hartford. And to me, when you become a national laughingstock, which is the city of Bridgeport and how we handle elections. And I can say that. The reason I can say that, John, is because I've worked in other markets as a journalist. And when you get calls from people you worked in news with, from Texas to California to Colorado, because of a video that ended up on national news of ballot stuffing, does it disappoint you at all that we didn't see beyond just these cases play out in court? Because I get it. I get the legal process. I understand all that. And I know the Secretary of the State has said that. But more outrage, more demand for better, cleaner elections, even if it is just one out of our 169 municipalities. In 3 years since you made the decision to release that video, does it disappoint you that you haven't seen more from the governor or from delegates or anyone? I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I was truly disappointed when the second round, let's say, of the election was taking place in January and February. And after the video was released, plenty of evidence out there to show corruption, to show voter suppression, and yet to have the governor and other state delegates stand behind this administration and support him. So that was a very let down, because as a state leader, what you're doing is you're endorsing corruption. You're endorsing what was blatantly seen on video. At the same time, I would say that since then, certain bills have been presented at the state level to address these concerns, address these issues. But yet, you know, the key one that needs to be passed is the one that anything that has to do with absentee ballot fraud is a mandatory minimum 1 year in prison. That needs to be passed. And I say kudos to both some of the Democrats, not all of them, some of them, and also to the Republicans for aggressively pushing some bills on the agenda. And we must continue to, as constituents, call them up and tell them, listen, we need to keep certain bills alive and push it. Within the city of Bridgeport, you know, you got to understand from the voter perspective, it's voter fatigue. They're tired. They're embarrassed. of what's going on. And as I said before, the voter participation continues to increase because strategically that's the plan. Decrease voter participation while we increasing the fraud within the absentee ballot process. So and we must continue to encourage those that felt like their vote don't count to turn out and vote because we cannot give up. It's been 3 years. Obviously, we know we've seen the impact and the result of what happened last election, where the margin of victory was only 251, but yet you had one person handled as many as 537 absentee ballot applications, clearly shows you that there's fraud within. But we are living the consequences of what's happening. We are the one lacking on progressive, continued economic growth here in the city. Our education system continues to fall behind, and it's only done in a injection time with funds to support it. We're living the crimes in the street. We're living the blights. We're living in the community that's darkened at night, that some people are afraid to go out. But, you know, we are resilient and we must continue to fight and we can't give up. Like I said, I truly believe there's a plan. We have our plan and, you know, I don't want to sound religious here, but God has its plan. And I've come to learn that. And at the end, everything will settle what it's supposed to be. And those that are doing things behind the scene and thinking they're benefiting the long run, they really aren't, because light will come to shed upon all of us here in Bridgeport. And Bridgeport will be triumph one day. It will be that city of prosperity on all aspects. And, you know, like many of the towns in the suburb, they're growing economically and so on our cost. That will be Bridgeport soon.
Does it bother you, though, you know, when you talk about Bridgeport kind of turning over a leaf, does it bother you at all that earlier this summer, the Bridgeport voter approved municipal ethics, you know, that whole committee that has been delayed in filling that board because the three, quite frankly, very qualified nominees were rejected by the city council? Are you worried about that? Because we're not really doing what we could be to have a ethics, you know, committee. I don't know.
Melissa, as long as you have the status quo in power or in control of the city, you will never have a change in the direction of Bridgeport. You will put things on paper to make them look good, but when it comes time to execution, it will not happen.
I think that's like sad, though, because you talk about, you know, disenfranchising voters. Voters overwhelmingly voted to have an ethics commission.
But
and we just don't care.
Well, it's the practice of it to understand who sat on that commission board, what control was given to who that was on there, and then to really execute what the people wanted. The problem becomes in the execution. You could vote someone in with the hopes they're going to change things, but ultimately they have the power to pull that trigger. And that's the missing piece. That's why things are not happening. It's about leadership. It's about accountability. It's about an inclusive process where you feel and respect the wishes of the residents of Bridgeport, the voter, to really look at what they're saying. It's not, you know, you're not asking for election or changing commission for a title. You're looking for results. And yes, we are very depressed. We're angry. We are tired. Yes. To your question. And that's what we got to keep doing, regardless of what some of the consequences have been and the costs on our personal life. We got to keep fighting. At the same time, I tell you, there are great people in Bridgeport. We have some great elected officials in Bridgeport that are trying to fight, but their number is minimal compared to the majority.
So
that's where we need to change.
I have a final question for you, John Gomes. Would you ever run for office again?
Oh, without a doubt. I would tell you that very direct and clear. The only thing in that is understanding the sacrifices, what it takes personally, financially, and most importantly on the family side. And you have to to make sure that it's not you saying you want to take an elected office, but that the people are saying, let's go. So, yes, I would definitely consider running for elected office again.
But you haven't confirmed doing so.
No, I mean, since, it took a lot out of me. So there was a process of healing. There was a process of putting me back together. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, through that, it's a process of talking to community. It's about a process of talking to the voters. It's about a process of talking to religious leaders, mm-hmm. stakeholders, and seeing where they're at. Are they willing to come and support? Can we unite? And that's the big thing in Bridgeport, unification. In order for us to move forward, it's not about race, gender, or what political affiliation. We're all suffering the same consequences. And we have to unite in order to make the change. Mm-hmm. If up to this point we have not seen the change we deserve as people, we deserve as a city, then it's not going to change unless we put a change at the leadership top, at the leadership level, and that's on the top. Mm-hmm. So, it's something that we're considering strongly. And Melissa, I will make sure you have the exclusive when that time comes, if it comes.
I appreciate that, John Gomes. I do. And I appreciate you giving us the time on the air for everything we've talked about. And I look forward to, if an announcement comes, sharing it with our audience. Thank you so much again, John Gomes. And I'm sure we'll be in touch really soon.